join the battle, now we'll have three major GPU players.
One is that if you execute and if you're aligned with the growth trends in the market, you will do well.
From Orion X in association with Inside HPC, this is the At HPC podcast. Join Shaheen Khan and Doug Black as they discuss supercomputing technologies and the applications, markets, and policies that shape them. Thank you for being with us.
Hi, Shaheen. It's good to be with you again.
Hey, Doug. How are you?
Just fine. So one of the bigger news stories of last week was Intel's earnings. And also at Investor Day, they kind of did an update on their Xeon data center chip strategy. And the market hasn't responded terribly well to the earnings announcement. The stock dropped at one point about 10%. But all companies are getting hammered in the market recently. So who knows? But on the chip front, they talked about a dual track Xeon strategy where the products with the Rapids name are really focused on max out performance, whereas on the E side, it's more about energy efficiency, chips really targeting hyperscalers and cloud native.
That seemed to make sense to me because that's how customers look at it too. You either go performance optimized or energy optimized these days. This also is the anniversary of their new CEO, Pat Gelsinger, who I believe has injected a lot of energy and helped them regain their voice and regain their mojo. I think all of that is really quite wonderful.
You know, I think a big asset for him, I've said this before, is his likability and his energy, but also that his focus is tech. He's happy to call himself a tech nerd or tech geek. And that really shows, I think, what the world wants to see from Intel, which is moving away from a financially driven orientation and more to a technology driven one.
Yes, they intentionally wear that on their sleeve now, and they really are highlighting geek and nerd and technical depth, which is right on. I think that's exactly what the market wants and legitimately wants, because this stuff is technically very complicated. The other thing is that the whole landscape in the semiconductor industry has shifted. There seems to be almost a global rediscovery of the importance of chips, a recognition that this particular technology is the engine of the next phase of economic growth. And then you put that on top of supply chain issues and geopolitical issues. So I think that has created another pull in the industry in addition to Wall Street. And that's the politicians, it's Washington. And Intel has to play both of those focal points going forward.
It's been a big story for, I don't know, at least 6 months that the chip shortage has really hobbled the auto industry. So it's very front and center that chip manufacturing is really a matter of global economic competitiveness.
It is. In fact, they announced that they're going to form a more focused group on automotive silicon in a big way. And they pegged the size of that market to something like $115 billion. So it's a pretty giant piece of the puzzle. And while some car companies are going vertical, notably Tesla, that really is not a good strategy even for Tesla long term, if you ask me. And I think that it is important to have reliable suppliers who really focus on this particular area going across the board of what semiconductors you need, not just the inference engine.
Right. So Intel's really going very aggressive after the fab end of the business, the acquisition of Tower Semiconductor and the announcement they're building fabs in Ohio. But I did go back to look at, just to get a refresh on where things stand in the data center server chip market. And in as recently as 2017, Intel still had that 98% dominance of the market. Just incredible. Right now, according to market research firm Omdia, they're at 77%. And you know, Shaheen, back in 2017, I sat down with AMD for the first time and they laid out their roadmap. And they said, we're going to start taking share from Intel. And I was really impressed with their product story, but a little bit naively, I thought, really, who's going to go with AMD? They've had this boom and bust cycle before. Is the market really going to trust them? And yep, the market is absolutely trusting them in data center and in HPC.
Well, I think there are so many lessons from that story. One is that if you execute and if you're aligned with the growth trends in the market, you will do well. And that's what AMD has shown. The other thing, and this is where there's a reversal of roles here, is that if your most recent past is not so stellar, when you project a vision that is very exciting, people are going to be doubtful that he can in fact execute. Now, a new CEO has some level of, you know, it changes things. You can say, well, there's a new sheriff in town and things are going to be different. Mm-hmm. And certainly Pat Gelsinger is showing that extremely well. So I think there's a lot of confidence and hope that Intel is one way or another, it's going to execute. Clearly the company has just an outstanding bench strength in terms of the scientists and engineers and manufacturing and all of that. So there's hope. On the other hand, this is why Wall Street reacted the way it did, is that they, at the end of the day, want the numbers and don't really care about where you might be 10 years from now. They want to see that you're delivering the goods now.
Wall Street is, by definition, short-term driven. So we're certainly seeing at the very high end of HPC and supercomputing growing leadership from AMD and NVIDIA. I went back and looked at the top 50 systems, and AMD and NVIDIA have either alone or together, they're in 28 of the top 50, whereas Intel is in 10 of them.
You know, one thing that I'd like to point out, well, obviously AMD executed and Intel hasn't, and we have covered this in this podcast before, that TSMC gets a lot of credit for the NVIDIA and AMD ability to execute, as well as Apple, as well as many others. That's a big part of it. But really, the other thing that it shows me is that whatever problem Intel had, it wasn't the x86 instruction set. Because if it was, then AMD wouldn't have been able to execute so well.
Yeah.
So that basically tells me that what is at stake here is just execution from obviously the design angle and delivery angle, but also from the manufacturing fab angle. And fab has just been where Intel has had difficulty until all of the work that they're doing now to try to fix it.
We've talked about data center server market, and certainly the HPC market is willing to move from one chip maker to the next. It's a price performance issue. So the good news possibly for Intel longer term potentially is the market will come back to them if they execute and can take back technology leadership.
Yes. In fact, I think AMD has been a godsend for Intel because they have preserved the importance and the leadership of the x86 architecture that may not have been the case if there were no alternatives to Intel.
It's been such an interesting ride to watch all this play out. Again, over the last 5 years, this total sea change.
And right,
frankly, just from a observer's point of view, without a dog in the fight, it's much more interesting with all of these new players on the scene fighting it out.
Now, some of this was anticipated with the end of Moore's Law, that as you... Now, of course, TSMC is showing that Moore's Law continues. But also with that transistor budget that comes to you, you can do architecturally more interesting things. At their event, Intel showed Ponte Vecchio benchmark numbers that were looking at a different set of applications. And in fact, they showed significant leadership. They had a bar that was green, so that pointed to who that might be. But then they did have it in the background. So if you double clicked on it, it showed and they had all the data. And it ended up being a NVIDIA A100. But for that particular application, they showed better performance. Well, why? Because they had a bigger cache, or for whatever reason, the chip matched the application quite well. And it just shows that with applications all over the map, you could pick a subset and really optimize for that and show good leadership. And that's an opportunity for a lot of people. But architecturally, you can do things like that now. And that's one reason why we've got as many semiconductor players as we see.
So bring on Ponte Vecchio, get it commercial, and join the battle. Now we'll have three major GPU players.
That's right. At least.
At least. Right.
I mean, three major and probably another dozen waiting in the wings trying to establish themselves well. One other consideration is that Intel traditionally just has had a much richer product portfolio, like the number of SKUs that they offer is off the charts compared to others. Whereas a new player may have one chip or maybe one chip, a couple of variations, they've got dozens of chips. So if you're an OEM, you've got a significantly more flexible way of matching a chip to what you need, which is really why when you get to the client side, Intel continues to be so strong.
Yeah, and also non-chip products. It's easy to go after Intel, yet they still are an amazing cash cow on the chip side, just tremendous revenue generation. So they'll have a great financial basis for Gelsinger's pretty ambitious strategy.
And in fact, as long as the market is supply limited, there is not going to be a price pressure, except in specific market segments. And I think we should continue to expect microprocessor companies having a relatively comfortable time there.
What I keep hearing economists say, pricing power.
Pricing power, that's right. Relevant to that is a news item that came across this past week that I believe it is Intel that was working on capacity on demand so you could enable pieces of silicon after it was installed. And that way you could buy the chip, not use everything that might be on that big tile with multiple chiplets on it, and then turn them on as you need it down the line, which is a great capability to have long term, except that short term, as long as there is, again, supply limits, it doesn't make sense to not sell something at its full price and wait for somebody to turn it on later.
Yes, indeed. Interesting times. All right, Shaheen. Well, great talking with you again, and we'll see you next week.
Likewise. Definitely a topic that we have to keep coming back to like every other week because so much is going on.
Very good.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.
That's it for this episode of the At HPC podcast. Every episode is featured on InsideHPC.com and posted on OrionX.net. Use the comment section or tweet us with any questions or to propose topics of discussion. If you like the show, rate and review it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. The At HPC podcast is a production of OrionX in association with Inside HPC. Thank you for listening.